And welcome into the Doug Russell Podcast, the Monday edition, a special Monday Night Football edition. We've got lots to get to over the course of the podcast today. Coming up, we'll check in with CBS 58 Sports Director Kevin Holden. He'll join us and give us a preview of Packers and the Falcons tonight. That's primarily what we'll be talking about on the podcast. Coming up tonight, of course, it is Green Bay versus Atlanta at Lambeau Field. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers offense playing at a record clip.
Well, I think it's been a good combination of a lot of things. The ball's been coming out on time. My body feels really good. The protection's been good. Guys have been open at the right time. I think that the flow of the calls has been really, really good. And then obviously not having fans in two really, really rough road environments has helped as well.
Then again, as Aaron knows, the quarterback play has never been better in the NFL, with young players like Kyler Murray and Joe Burrow ready to join veterans like Russell Wilson and Dak Prescott. Look, even Tom Brady had 5 touchdown passes yesterday for Tampa Bay. Tonight, the Packers will face veteran Matt Ryan, another former league MVP.
It's really strong. I think it's been strong for a long time since I've been in the game. I've seen a lot of great quarterbacks played against most of them. I think the state of the quarterback has definitely changed. You know, when I first got in the league, there was a lot of pocket passers, truly pocket passers, you know, 6'5", 6'6", guys who stand in there and deliver the ball.
Aaron, of course, has the ability to run the football as well, but not like some of today's young guns.
There's a lot more guys who can extend plays and use their legs and run the ball, read option stuff for some of them. Be able to throw on the run is, you know, just the athleticism, I think, that's kind of looked for in quarterbacks now. It's just different than 15 years ago when I was drafted, and it's fun to see. You know, so many guys who can do things outside the pocket, extend plays, use their legs, run for first downs, throw on the run accurately.
Moving along to tonight's game, Alan Lazard, of course, is out. Devontae Adams has missed the last 2 games, so that leaves opportunities for guys like Darius Shepherd and Malik Taylor.
Those reps are really important. The way you practice, the type of professional that you are, your aptitude and eagerness to learn and to grow, your aptitude with the signals, with the formations, that's really important to earn that trust. And it's not just me. I don't have some magic wand that I'm going to say, you know, like, you're going to play because I trust you. Obviously, as we've seen, that doesn't work around here.
As for Darius Shepherd, he's got the quarterback's attention.
Obviously, last year, he had a great training camp, you know, had basically one drop, a ball that was a little behind him, and a lot of people tried to write him off, you know, in training camp, and he had a phenomenal training camp. He really did. I mean, he was as productive as just about anybody in camp, and I really like his approach. You know, he's the one who's always in Devontae's ear.
Moving along to the coach, Matt LaFleur, he was asked about something not necessarily related to football, but sort of related to football. He was asked about 2 specific coronavirus outbreaks, one in the NFL, the other in the Fox River Valley, the hottest hotspot right now in the country.
The masks aren't necessarily something that we all want to do, but I know the Packers' view, our football team's view, my view is we'll do whatever's necessary to keep everybody safe, to keep us being able to play this game that we all love, that people enjoy, I hope they enjoy watching. And in order to do that, there comes a level of responsibility with that.
There has been a thought that all NFL teams should just quarantine, maybe hold themselves up in a hotel. Would LaFleur ever consider that?
I know the easiest thing for me is when I leave here is I go home and just hang out within the confines of my house. Certainly there are added risks when, you know, you have a family, and that's what I'm stressed to my wife and my kids is we all got to be careful, because all it takes is one person within our personal family as well as our football family where this thing can get out of control.
Finally, back on the field at inside linebacker, depth continues to be an issue with injuries piling up. Chris Barnes and Jonathan Garvin are getting snaps. Kamal Martin, though, is expected back. But what does that all mean for the coach?
Well, that's the hope, is they continue to get better each and every week, and certainly they're getting more knowledgeable. I think we got to continue to push them to grow and get better each and every day. You can never go backwards in this business. You got to keep putting one foot in front of the other and try to be at your best every day and get incrementally better on a daily basis. And we are certainly excited about the young talent that we have in some of those spots, and we'll continue to push them.
Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. Now, as for the game itself, Aaron Rodgers, as we've seen through the first 3 weeks of the season, has been stellar. Completion percentage of 67%, 9 touchdowns, no interceptions. We talked about the quarterback play around the league a minute ago. So his quarterback rating looks fantastic, and it is. It's the 3rd in the NFL. His quarterback rating is 121.1. A decade ago, that would have been Aaron Rodgers is on pace for a record quarterback rating all time in NFL annals. Well, right now, he's not even leading the league with a quarterback rating of 121.1, which, again, it's outstanding, but quarterback play certainly has changed over the last really decade or so. It's changed before that, but it's continued to get better and better and better. Nevertheless, the Falcons, as we have all seen, especially over the course of the last couple of weeks, they have been the worst fourth quarter team in the NFL. Heartbreaking losses first to Mike McCarthy and the Dallas Cowboys, and then last week to the Chicago Bears as well. The Falcons have allowed 46 fourth quarter points this year. They have scored just half of that, just 23. So they've got a 23-point crunch time differential. That's the worst in the league in the fourth quarter. The news from Atlanta, though, isn't all bad. Calvin Ridley maybe has been the best receiver in the NFL this year. Through three games, he's tied for the league lead in touchdown receptions with four, second in receiving yards, and second in first down receptions. He's got 19 of those. The Packers, meanwhile, third worst in the league in opponents' completion percentage. So that's something to watch as well. Also for the Falcons, starting cornerback Kendall Sheffield. He's expected to return. The Falcons, mostly without Sheffield, are the second worst in the NFL in defensive passing yards. So let's add it all up. The Packers are banged up, but they're playing with a lot of confidence. The flip side is the Falcons are relatively healthy. Julio Jones is expected back tonight. Calvin Ridley, as we mentioned before, having an outstanding season. They're both nicked up, but both are going to play tonight. The problem with the Falcons is that after gacking up two straight big fourth quarter leads, they're shell-shocked. And we continue on our Packer discussion. Of course, coming up tonight, it is the Packers taking on the Atlanta Falcons on Monday Night Football. Our next guest has covered the Packers for the last decade now for CBS 58. He is their longtime and outstanding sports director and a good friend. We welcome Kevin Holden to the Doug Russell Podcast. Kevin, appreciate the time, my man. How are you doing today?
Man, Doug, it's great. It's great to talk football anytime. Thanks for having me on. And I mean, honestly, the crazy thing about it is you and I both been covering the Packers forever, and it doesn't matter what the year or what the situation. These guys are, you know, in the running, in the hunt year after year, and here they are undefeated going into week four and going into a Monday night game. This is exactly where we all want to be right now, talking about wins.
Absolutely. But did we think that we were going to be talking about a team that's 3-0, poised to be 4-0? I don't know that anybody thought that Atlanta would, you know, invent new ways to lose football games. But nevertheless, this is where the Packers are right now. You thought maybe Minnesota would be a little bit better, and especially opening up the season on the road at Minnesota. Well, now there's no fans, so that takes out home field advantage. And I think you could say the same thing about last week's game against New Orleans. I don't know that I would have picked the Packers when first looking at this schedule to be 3-0 with the anticipation of going 4-0 against Atlanta at the quarter pole of the season.
Yeah, and it's been an interesting transition too, because they've overcome a different variety of hurdles along the way. It's not your typical 3-0 start. You had this season opener and then the home opener, back to back weeks, no fans. The video looks like it's shot at a practice. For a sport that works off of adrenaline, I can't imagine the idea of trying to force that where there isn't adrenaline, where the noise is capped by an NFL rule and there aren't fans in the stands. I mean, I don't care if you're home team or visiting team or what, you feed off of it. There are guys that feed off of the energy of the opposing fans booing you, and it's not there. And so the Packers did that. They hit both those hurdles, the division opponents, no problem at all. They went down to New Orleans, where they start this streak of facing higher end, we'll call them, quarterbacks in Drew Brees, and now we'll see Matt Ryan, and then Tom Brady is around the corner, if you could still put him in that category. But the Packers they've done things right in a very odd setting in this 2020, where, I mean, honestly, anything can happen this year to anyone in any situation. So to see the Packers win games and to win them in different situations, I got to feel pretty good if I'm Matt LaFleur right now. This has gone really well.
Week one, it was Davante Adams having a career day, even for Davante. I mean, he was outstanding in that week one win at Minnesota. In week two against Detroit, it was Aaron Jones who stepped up and had a career day. Last week, it was Alan Lazard stepping up and having a career day. Now, take what you want about Davante Adams and Alan Lazard, then subsequently getting injured, nevertheless. Who's it going to be at week four? Because one of the great things that I've seen from this offense is that it is a different guy that's stepping up. Granted, it's only 3 weeks, but stepping up each and every week so far during the season.
Can I say Miles White?
Sure.
Can I say
Joel? Say what you want.
can I say Joel Bueno? No, the reason I say that is every year when we've gotten to this time of year and you start to look for the guys who would step up, the first thing you do is you go to your preseason stars that won spots based on what they did in the preseason. And as you know, Doug, that's Kevin Holden territory right there. We do those preseason games on Telemundo, so I spent a month trying to yap about Miles White and Vince Young in Spanish, and then you come out with all of this mostly useless knowledge, but there's usually a couple of guys that I can expound upon. There had no preseason this year. There was no Spanish Packers broadcast this year for us. So it's difficult for me to try to like pinpoint what that person is going to be. I mean, the obvious one I would think if you're going down the line is MVS. You know, Marquez Valdes-Scantling has been sort of in that fringe, and now if he's going to be thrust into this role of number one receiver, then okay, maybe by default Aaron Rodgers is going to make him a 100-yard receiver. But I don't know if that's going to happen, and if that's the case, then man, we're digging down to like Malik Taylor type of territory, and It's a huge question for me. I guess the other thing is tight end. I like the fact that you're seeing those guys get involved a little bit. You've actually seen some offensive highlights from Mercedes Lewis, a little bit from Robert Tonyan. I think at the end of the day, I don't know if it's one guy Monday night. I think they're gonna make a dollar with dimes and nickels, if you know what I mean.
Talk to me about MVS, one of the guys that you just mentioned. I mean, he's capable of the huge play, and I don't know if you know, you want to go back to week one throughout the entire season, but you know what they say about first impressions when the year began. He comes up with these amazing catches, and you start to think, all right, maybe he's going to put it together for an entire 16-game season, but still, at times, he's got a case of the butterfingers. That can't bode well for his long-term success when he's in the same huddle as Aaron Rodgers. And we know how Aaron is. If you catch the ball, he's going to keep throwing it to you. If you don't catch the ball, you're not going to get those passes.
No, that's the truth. And unfortunately, he's gone the wrong direction as this year has gone on. He had 96 yards on 4 receptions in that opener at Minnesota, down to 3 receptions and 64 yards in the home opener against Detroit, and just 1 catch for 5 yards in the game against New Orleans. And Aaron Rodgers is, if anything, like you said, a trust-based quarterback. And I almost feel like if he feels like MVS is going to drop the ball, he'll go to his tight ends instead. He'll turn Aaron Jones into the leading receiver on top of the leading rusher.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's the kind of thing Rodgers would do, right? This is the scenario I think is going to happen. I think right before kickoff, and now we have a later kick, so there's a greater chance this happens with that 7:50 kick now. I think right as we're about to get into the pregame stuff, you're going to hear this weird music coming from the speaker at Lambeau Field, and you're going to hear Wayne Larrabee turn to the board, and then almost he can express shock with his voice. You don't have to see him to hear the shock, and he's going to go, "By God, that's Jake Kumerow's music." That's the kind of thing I expect to happen, and I can see. Dude, I can see Jake Kumerow stepping in 20 minutes to kick and leading the Packers in receptions Monday night. I absolutely could see
The return of Whitewater Jesus?
We need some Whitewater Jesus in our lives, don't we?
I don't think there's look, you can't have too much Whitewater Jesus. It's something that just doesn't exist. Kevin Holden, CBS 58 sports director, joining us here. The Packers taking on the Falcons tonight on Monday Night Football. You're listening to the Doug Russell Podcast. All right, so we've talked about the offense. This team's defense at times has looked passable. At times has looked absolutely atrocious. Can they continue to count on the offense throughout the entire season to bail them out of their own failures?
I think that's a bad idea. I think it's not a formula for success, especially if receiver injuries are going to be an issue with depth already, you know, a problem at the receiver position. If that happens, if they're fighting those injuries all year, the offense is going to run into some bumps. Aaron Jones does help it, but once the offense runs into a bump or two, the defense will have to step up to bail them out. Here's the other thing that's odd about it. And again, going back to the time that you and I have spent covering the Packers, we were a broken record for about 7 years where it was, oh, this Dom Capers-led defense is giving up points and getting gashed and getting beat by, you know, Marcus Mariota and whoever else. But this is a different group on defense in 2020, not just because Mike Pettine's in charge, but because there are better players at a lot of places on the field. To me, it's a little different this year when you have all of this depth in the secondary, playmakers in the secondary, when you have the Smiths, when you have Kenny Clark. That defense should come with some expectation. And that's a thing the Packers fans have not had in a long time. It's been, let Aaron Rodgers throw all his touchdown passes and let the defense please just don't give up more points. And I think this group is capable of more than that. So it's been a mild disappointment to see this happen to this point. This would be an excellent game to get healthy, though, because the Falcons are a talented offensive team, but they have receiver problems just like the Packers. Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, both questionable, and I don't think they have a run game to sustain it. So maybe this is get healthy night.
Of course, anybody who knows Kevin Holden knows that he is an Atlanta native. Your hometown team, the last couple of weeks, like, I don't want to go back to the Super Bowl where they gacked away a 28-3 lead against the Patriots. I'm sure that that's been done to death. But the last couple of weeks, it's looked almost like that again. How does Coach Quinn hang on, and how does he get this team to believe in themselves after they've just looked atrocious in the last, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 minutes of each of their last two games?
Yeah, this is no longer just an isolated thing. This is no longer just a single collapse that was based around another team's good fortune, say, in the last several minutes of a game. This is now a pattern, and it's a mental thing at this point. And it kind of does go back to 28-3, because when the Cowboys kick an onside kick and the Falcons all gather around it and then like sit down and sing Kumbaya while that ball is spinning for a minute and a half, that's a problem. That's a huge problem.
Right.
And it turns into a loss. And then this happens to them again against the Bears of all people, of all teams, where they have this 96% chance to win and it falls away. Honestly, as a coach, if I'm coaching a team, I do what I always go back to Augie Garrido, who was a baseball coach, successful college baseball coach, and he had ways of bringing his team out of slumps in very unconventional ways. Like he'd gather his players at practice, and he'd have some object, I don't know, take your pick, a towel or something that would represent the opposing team or represent the streak or whatever. And then he would just burn it, you know, and just set it on fire and just fling it and let the thing just burn and you know, have this sort of exorcism of sorts. All it is just an exercise, right? It's nothing of substance, but mentally it changes the way your guys approach it. And if I'm Coach Quinn, that's exactly what I do. This is not about personnel at this point. It's about getting those things out of your head, and that's hard to do.
Kevin Holden, sports director from CBS 58 in Milwaukee, joining us as we preview tonight's Packers-Falcons Monday night football game. What's it been like as a reporter for you covering this team? Because we're used to being in the locker room. We're used to being, you know, the social event for the Wisconsin sports media has always been Packers games. What has it been like to cover the team this season during the pandemic?
Very different, no question about that. And it starts with training camp and training camp practices. On our side of things, as a TV station, there are a couple of different things you concern yourself with. You're covering the team just like everyone, but you also are concerned with the visuals. You need video of practice. You need video of those interviews. And as you mentioned, we're not allowed near the players, and totally understandable. I would not have it any other way in a pandemic. They've got to continue to play. So the Zoom interviews have become the norm. But it's been about shooting practice. And some of the weirdest things that have happened for us as a station since I've been here have happened in the last 2 months, where TV stations get together because they only allow a certain number of cameras to shoot a practice. So TV stations have gotten together. Picture this. Competitors have gotten together and said, okay, we're going to pool our resources and we will shoot what we need to shoot and we'll distribute to everyone. So I am using video from my competitors sometimes. And that's
– wow.
I mean, you imagine that world? Like that's – in the cutthroat world of competitive media that, yeah, I'm using the guy across the street's video or, you know, during games we're in this position too. The games used to be one camera shooting the game per affiliate. So ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox each had a camera. And then there was a fifth camera they called State. That's now one camera total.
Wow.
And so what's happening is the team is actually helping us supplement this. They send us some of their video that they shoot, which is always a great exercise for our photographers, because anybody that sees it's like, oh, I could shoot better than that. I would have got that play better than that. But you know, that's the competitive nature of things. But what a bizarre thing. What a weird thing to go to an NFL stadium, an NFL game with no fans, no tailgating, no drunk people trying to mess with you as you're making live television.
Is that the biggest thing that you missed this year in the pandemic? I mean, we're all going to look back on 2020 as its own bizarre, strange world that we can't even put into words sometimes when you compare it to 2019 and prior to that. But what are you going to think of when 2020 is mentioned in the years to come?
To me, it's about, I think this has given us a good lesson in priorities. I think it's a lot of people, I think in 2020 have had to sort of check back down to the things that are important in their lives. If we're, I mean, I'm probably talking a little greater beyond the sports world here, but the sports world does play in, obviously. So if baseball is playing a 60-game season and it's not important to you, then, you know, I can't fault you for that. But whatever is important to you is the thing that you're pursuing right now, the thing that you're going after right now, which is why you're seeing, you know, people are spending more time with family. People are picking up hobbies. For me personally, you know, I've kind of sat down and made a list of of goals that you know, that I've wanted to achieve and have gone to the back burner over this, you know, I guess what am I, 23 years now in television, and I've, you know, I'm kind of starting to come back to my roots, to, you know, to start trying to reach these goals that I haven't gotten to. So that 2020 to me has been it's taken away a lot of distraction, being at home more, not spending a lot of time out in restaurants, bars, whatever, has brought me and I think a lot of other people back to things. I think it's increased my appreciation for sports, though. It has not gone down. I think it's gone up.
Kevin Holden from CBS 58 joining us here on the Doug Russell Podcast. Kevin, appreciate the time. As always, enjoy the game coming up tonight. Now, are you going to be at Lambeau Field? Are you going to cover it from home, from the studio? What is your game plan coverage for tonight's game?
So I will be, and you can hear the air quotes, at Lambeau Field. I actually will be physically inside Lambeau Field, but what that means is you walk in, you go directly to the press box, you're separated from everyone. I mean, they separated me from everyone even before the pandemic. That was just good practice. Just give Holden his own row. It's right. Not that he's special. You just don't want to be near that for a whole game. But I'll be, you know, we'll have that distancing. The interviews will be by Zoom. We'll do the stand-ups in the parking lot, and then we'll get home at 3 o'clock in the morning. It's just bizarre.
Well, see, now some things still never change, though. You're still getting home at 3 o'clock in the morning. There's that.
Well, you remember all these games that where the snow would come at the end, where you'd have, yep, like that snow and ice.
Oh,
like,
I'm familiar.
You remember the Panthers game last? Did it take you like 4 hours to get home from that game last year?
It did. Didn't get home until I think it was either 4 or 5 in the morning, but I wasn't alone because we saw on our drive home from Green Bay to Milwaukee, there were other, you know, news trucks that were going by, whether it was yours or Fox 6's or TMJ4's. So we were all kind of in it together. But yeah, it took 4 hours, and that was October 31st, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't it? That was,
yeah,
that was still in October, which is bizarre.
Yeah, and it was, the funny thing was because it was one of those like weird 33-degree, 32-degree things. It was like you were fine, and then it was snowy, and then it was icy, and then you were fine again. So I think there were points where all the news vans had just turned sideways and were sliding down 43 like sideways.
And then no one would be able to report on it because we'd all be in a ditch. Evan Olden from CBS 58. Kevin, appreciate the time. Have a safe trip up to Green Bay later on today. Hopefully you don't get home too late, but appreciate the time and the insight so much.
Doug, always a pleasure, and let's have fun, and let's get 2020 out of here fast.
All right, there he goes, CBS 58 Sports Director Kevin Holden joining us here on the Doug Russell Podcast. That'll about do it for today's show. Don't forget to download, subscribe, give us a rating, tell your friends, spread the word. We're trying to grow this thing as much as we can. We got a couple of 100 early downloads and a couple of 100 early subscribers, so we're very, very grateful to you for that. So we just like to keep it going. You can follow us on the socials, Doug Russell Pod on Twitter and now on Instagram as well. You can find the Doug Russell Podcast on Facebook as well. Very easy to interact with the show. You can always follow me on Twitter, just very simply at Doug Russell. And you can always email the show at DougRussellPod@gmail.com. I think I hit all of them as well. So find us on social media. Feel free to drop us a line at any time as well. Enjoy the football game tonight, and we'll talk to you on Wednesday right here on the Doug Russell Podcast.